Welcome to the Dell Golf Podcast.
My name is David Adele, and let's sit down at the workbench and talk about how we can play our best golf. Welcome to the Adele Podcast. I'm here with a very special guest, a really good friend, and someone who I truly admire as a friend and one of the smartest golf teaching professionals in the world. And I've been around a lot of them. He's a top 100 instructor. His name is Terry Rolls. Please disregard his speech problem. You'll get over it after a bit, and you'll realize what I've already have always known, how smart this guy is. And so we're just going to sit here and brainstorm and talk about golf and Terry's experiences in the teaching realm of golf. So I want to start this off with Terry and I both have a strong affection for this gentleman, and I love Mike Adams with all my heart, one of the greatest men I've ever known. So tell me, Terry, about your relationship with Mike.
Yeah, I share the affection. You know, Mike is a very generous mentor to many of our colleagues over many, many years. I mean, if he finds somebody that's approaching his level of investedness in the business, then he's going to ride alongside them for a while and just try and learn as much as he can. But at the same time, also, you know, with his, amazing level of experience, also guide them, you know, on their journey. And, you know, Mike probably had some idea of what I was doing, not entirely sure how, but he asked me to come and speak at his event. And so I turned up, you know, I thought it was going to be like 20 minutes. And he said, oh, yeah. So I said, you know, what time am I speaking? He said, oh, you know, 9 to 12. And I hadn't done a lot of presenting at that point. And so 3 hours was pretty intimidating. So I stood up and
he did that to
presented
me too.
For 3 hours. And it turns out, you know, we had a lot of crossovers, but, you know, we've been asking some of the similar questions. So I think, you know, the initial kind of relationship is based in the fact that we look at things in a very similar way, ask the same questions as you do indeed. You know, why do we do what we do? You know, it's a different level of questioning than just saying, this is the way to do it, right? And he's been doing it for a lot longer than us. So, you know, he's been asking those questions of, you know, his nature is to talk to people who, you know, potentially have answers to the questions that he's been asking. And, you know, so I think, you know, we joined his journey on that way, and he's been an incredible partner and brother and supporter in helping me become a better teacher. But you know, I think we all help him too. So it's like this beautiful synergy of...
That was the word I was going to use, was synergy. Yeah. I mean, he creates these synergistic relationships and
right.
And this pool of knowledge, you know, getting all these minds together. And you know, he's never been afraid, nor are you, nor am I, for that fact, to share information, teach. And we gain so much off of each other in the process. And ultimately, you know, the end result is we help people get better at the game, correct?
Yeah. And then, you know, it becomes more enjoyable for us who are teaching it or playing it, because the kind of the logic of the game gets easier, right? So why do we do this? Well, there's kind of a structure. And if you approach it in this order, then it's a, you know, you're going to deal with the big things first and the smaller things later. You know, so he's taught us to major in the majors and not in the minors.
Yeah.
And, you know, to help us to have a structure to what we do, which sounds like, you know, just another thing, but it's actually incredibly profound kind of pyramid of thinking, which ends up with there being a very few entry points and a very organized kind of structure of where you move around in that kind of map of things. Which, again, it sounds like, you know, not that much, but it's really, you know, profoundly changed, you know, how golf is and will be taught after, you know, we put it out there with the book.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, we don't get where we're at without help, right? And who we hang out with. Who are the other people that have influenced your career?
I think the reason we're all, I wouldn't say I'm attracted to you, but, you know, I have an affinity with you, David. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we're all attracted to each other because we're all asking questions like why. To be honest with you, other than Mike, I mean, technology has been a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the last 15 years, we've had a good idea of, you know, what's happening in terms of what the ball's doing, the club's doing, you know, the body's doing. And then before that, I was working for David Ledbetter in the late 90s, early 2000s, which really kind of stimulated me to think, you know, we were starting to talk about kind of a holistic approach to golf. And then, you know, I branched out outside of golf, who'd be my best mentors. And one was a guy called John Grinder, who was the founder of NLP. So he was very...
which is neurolinguistic programming, right?
Yeah. So he himself, as a mentor and a friend, you know, in a similar way to Mike, was very influential in the way that I approach things, you know, communication, just understanding coaching, understanding humans, understanding yourself, you know. So, you know, when we look at people getting better, we're not pushing buttons on a machine, right? So, you know, the coaching process is a really big thing that I would say, you know, I hold in great regard. So, you know, part of the golf instruction program is to understand who's standing in front of you and how to adapt to that person and how to really kind of hear what they want to say versus what they might be saying. So that's a big part of my background. And then the other thing was working with Paul Check, you know, very early on, early 2000s. So getting a really good understanding of, you know, for a golf teacher, you know, how the body works and how that relates to, you know, the swing. So, you know, so I was fortunate because at that point, Paul wasn't really into golf. So I was looking at it from outside of golf and, you know, and then bringing that back into golf was really important. So again, so now when I'm looking at, you know, swings and this and that, it's, you know, almost unfathomable to me that people really don't understand much about, you know, golf teachers don't always understand a lot about anatomy and physiology and, you know, so they're asking people to do things, but they don't really understand the machine that's doing it, right? So that was a big help that it helped me put a lot of things together, is understanding just that. And so I would say that would be, you know, the foundation stones, really. And then, you know, like I say, doing a lot of research using technology, but then running into Mike and having, you know, separately kind of studied, you know, patterns of swings and ball flights and things like that. And then we came together from different angles, but because we were measuring, then, you know, obviously all that collided. So I would say, you know, Mike is the most kindred spirit in terms of, you know, golf, and then people like yourself, you know, there's not a hundred of us who think in this way. And, you know, when we get together, it's really fun to, you know, to share. And I mean, pretty much learn something from everybody you run into. I mean, every single tour player I've ever taught, I've definitely learned something about, you know, performance and getting it done and different, you know, ways of doing things. So I think on a greater degree, those guys, on a smaller degree, a little bit from everybody.
So what do you think the job of the teacher is?
Well, I think there's two pieces of that. Number one, have an understanding of the game. So you look at guys like Mark Brody and, you know, how he's kind of broken out the game into an understandable form of what contributes to the score. So, you know, we've got to look at the golfer and say, you know, what do we think the skills they need are or that they need to improve to score better are. But at the same time, you know, especially with tour players, you have to be really good at listening. So it's almost two things. You formulate your own opinion on how they should move, you know, based on the way we test, you know, what kind of low hanging fruit do they have in their scoring? But then also, who is this human being in front of you? What are they asking for? Because I mean, there's been tour players where I formulated an idea of what I should be doing and, you know, how they can improve. But at the same time, you really have to, you know, connect to their vibe of what they think they need to do and somehow merge those two together to greatest effect. So that's really the two skills I would say, is understanding who's in front of you, listening, you know, very well, deciding for yourself in the background, you know, what's the course of action that's needed to help this person score better, have more fun, whatever it might be. And then somehow, you know, melding those two things together to create a short, medium, longer term program to make it work.
So it's melding the, you know, the expectations of the player in front of you, managing what they're currently doing, and then providing a strategy for both of those to happen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we talk about biomechanics. I think we have to define what biomechanics is, because I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of, I mean, it's a word, biomechanics, but how does it pertain to golf? How would you define it in a logical, explainable way for a listener that doesn't understand what that means?
Well, I think the field of biomechanics is really measuring, you know, the mechanics of a human, in this case, I mean, mm-hmm. of bio.
Right.
You know, so quantifying movement, right? So you can have, you know, forces and motions. Mm-hmm. So you can measure, you know, angles and speeds and the forces which create those. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just quantifying motion, I would say, would be the right way to say it. I mean, mm-hmm. the purpose of biomechanics is to, you know, either enhance performance or reduce injury. So mm-hmm. that would be the purpose of it. But, you know, like we've talked about measuring, even just, you know, what we're doing, you know, as a consequence of Mike's test, you're measuring the size of the human, you know, in your case, you know, for teaching and for fitting. In our case, you know, trying to understand how does that, you know, that shaped person, you know, how are they going to move? And then measuring how they move, you know, might be using motion capture or, you know, force plates or launch monitors to work out how that then is quantifiable. And then, you know, based on those kind of measurements, we have to have some form of decision tree to guide us to their future performance, which, you know, if you're not measuring, you're really just, you know, guessing. I think that's the saying, isn't it? If you're not assessing, you're guessing.
Yeah.
So it gives us the framework in which to understand where we are on a map and then and to move forward from there.
And I think, you know, for those listening, it sounds very laboratory-ish when you talk that way, but really it simplifies the whole process because we understand and know where we're starting and where we're trying to get to based on how that person's shaped, basically, right? And, you know, I think a lot of people would think, oh, I don't, that sounds really kind of spooky getting into all that, you know, stuff, but it really, you know, it's like what Mike always said, you know, you got three processes. You've got, you know, primacy, which is your body. You've got frequency. I've done this a lot. And then you got recency. And you can override frequency, which is a habit, right? If your recent information is pertinent to the primacy of what they need to have happen, right? And I think that's the big thing. And I think that leads into, you know, why so many people take a golf lesson and they go through that experience and then they get worse. And then, you know, the adage is, well, you got to work on it. You know, you'll get better down the road. This is what you need. And and I don't agree to that, nor do you or Mike, because if you're applying something new and it complies to what the body will do easily, because that's the way their body or their mind process information, the frequency part kind of just goes away really quickly because the brain and the body experience what they need to experience. And they say, wow, that took like 15 minutes. You're amazing. Mm. Right?
Right.
And I think that's the big fear people have taking golf lessons. And they probably should have fear because I'd say, you know, a majority of the people out there teaching don't have the breadth of information that you do or Mike or, you know, I'm getting there to actually make a very substantive change in a very quick period of time that is totally relevant to that individual. And why do you think there's such an apprehension out there for our brethren to not go where we're going?
Well, I think, you know, I've been working hard at this for, you know, 25 years. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, you know, I said the people that I did in terms of who influenced me is that, you know, they definitely influenced me in terms of moving into a more of a measured approach. I used to have this app on my phone and it was called Fog of World. And basically the whole world is covered in fog except for where you traveled, right? And so everywhere you go, you just kind of uncover this tiny piece of the world and eventually you uncover whatever, 1% or something. But, you know, it's kind of like that. It's like Fog of World of information. See, let me just say, I'm going to go back to something you said, why do people get worse? Well, so let's say somebody's hooking it because of their grip, so you fix their grip. They don't hook every ball, they hit some of them straight. So how do they hit it straight with a hook grip? Well, they block with their swing, whatever. So they got a left grip and a right swing. And, you know, there's two layers, right? So you've got to fix the grip and then teach them how to release or something. And there is, you know, that might take, if you have an exact system behind it, you know what steps to take, which order to take them in, you know, how long to spend on each step. And, you know, you come through it pretty quickly, but it's a very repeatable thing because there's an organized system to it. I think, you know, on a bigger scale, why is the golf instruction industry like this? Then what we're looking at is, you know, you might feasibly, you know, go through 6 months of education and it isn't instantaneously making you a better instructor because learning about the body is a reasonably long journey. Mm-hmm. So I think the challenge is, well, I think there's a number of challenges. If you look at the education in golf, well, you know, mostly it's a business. So you look at something like a launch monitor comes out and says, okay, how do I use it? You know, well, it's $30,000. How do I use it? Well, here, This is how you use it. These are the averages, you know, move along. That doesn't really make you a great teacher yet, because you're only getting an idea potentially of the average, right? Mm-hmm. And then the motion capture systems come out and say, you know, how do I use it? Well, here's how you use a motion capture system. You know, here are the averages, move along. But the reality is, I mean, understanding motion capture is understanding human motion, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, so what are the steps to understanding human motion? Well, you probably need to understand some anatomy, some physiology, how that blends into biomechanics, which sounds very complicated, but how do we move, you know, how do we measure movement? And then once we can understand how we move, how we measure movement, what does that then mean? How do we categorize it in order to make it useful? So, you know, unfortunately, that is, you know, the reason why, you know, elite level coaches usually, you know, it takes a while to get there, is because you either got to learn a lot about, you know, movement and how that relates to golf to be really successful and really understand what happens under the hood, or in a lot of times, you've got to be really good at communication. So, you know, when you get to actual tour events, and I mean, you are making pretty small changes, and there is quite substantial elements of coaching going on. If you look at who's the most successful coaches of all time, I mean, they're, you know, the John Woodens and the Butch Harmons, and, you know, these guys have a different skill set other than just changing mechanics, right? So okay. It's, you know, each of these individual skills, if you're going to be an industry leader in any one of them, it's going to take you a long time, right? So why does golf not take it on? There's not really a formal system in place other than, you know, two-day events here and there, which really carry the careers forward. You know, if you spend 6 months doing it, is there a guarantee that you know, are going to make more money? Not really. So it has to be kind of a labor of love, right? So it's self-driven. So you get nerds like us who keep asking questions, but that's really relatively unusual that people would do that. I would encourage people to go outside of golf to learn, you know, maybe to become a trainer, a physical trainer, for example, or, you know, learn how to coach people, not in golf, just outside of golf. There's programs, there's very smart people. I think these days people are going outside, they're watching, you know, TED Talks and then getting interested in certain people, reading their books and this and that. But that's also not a real deep learning, right? So It's like a shallow learning that you can kind of apply it, but you're not really an expert. So anyway, that's my rant. I think, you know, within golf, I think teachers need to find out what's the thing that interests them the most. And rather than having a broad and, you know, shallow education on something, I think they need to choose to go deep on something so they can, you know, hang their hat and say, you know what, I really want to understand the body. I understand how to coach, you know, understand how people can learn, you know, whatever it is. There's just so many, you know, how the clubs work, you know, whatever it is. So the people that rise to the top are the people that have a little bit more depth in their understanding of things, so they can help to, you know, clear some of the fog, as it were.
Yeah, when you want to learn, a teacher will always appear, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So for the listeners out there, Terry works with a lot of PGA, LPGA Tour, Korn Ferry, gals trying to get to the next level. One of the things that Terry and Mike have done, and Terry did a lot of the legwork on that, was to go out on tour and measure and use force plates and measure tour players, screen them for their, you know, span to height, their fold patterns, their, you know, what post they swing around, toe flare patterns, you know, external rotation of the shoulder, stuff like that. And I don't think there's nobody out there in the world that knows more about what guys are and gals are doing out on the tours than Terry and Mike. And, what did you learn in that whole process of doing that? I mean, it was pretty extensive what you guys did and what you've studied and the amount of information, right?
I mean, yeah. it comes in waves as the opportunities come along. What do we learn about performance? Firstly, I think Mike should be given the Nobel Peace Prize for golf for inventing, you know, the grip test and all the tests, but the grip and the post test are really unbelievable how much they match up to what the players are doing. You know, so it's from a, you know, LPGA, PGA Tour level, usually the players will, you know, mostly match up to what they should do in terms of, you know, the way their body is designed.
Or they wouldn't be there.
Pretty amazing.
They wouldn't be there.
So, no, exactly. But, you know, but there's always something that they're working on, which potentially is taken away from their natural thing, which, you know, so we did an event where there was about 30 tour players, and I think 28 of them, we were just testing grip this particular event. 28 matched up, you know, exactly, you know, the way they did the test and then how they actually grip. It was 20 out of 30. And then the two that didn't were actually trying to change away from it. So it's pretty funny. and they weren't playing very well. So usually, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, most of the stuff matches up. So what's the lesson from that is, you know, usually PGA Tour, LPGA Tour players don't need big changes. It would be one of the things to learn. Secondly, and so therefore, you know, using our system, it's very easy to identify the one or two small things that they, you know, really should be changing to help them to play better. So that would be the best lesson, is to say, you know, they're mostly all swinging the way they kind of should be swinging. And the challenge with tour players, if they, you know, miss two or three cuts in a row and they suddenly want to change everything, or they, you know, they see Bryson hitting it a little bit further or a lot further, and, you know, suddenly want to, you know, lose themselves in order to get better. And the ability to lose themselves, you know, sacrifice what they have for something else, is a pretty amazing surprise that you see, you know, in some people. But then you get, you know, guys like Bernard Langer playing with Bryson in the Masters and just being the absolute best representation of himself and making the cut and finishing well. So it's, you know, but that's the nature of the beast at competitive sport, is that the guys are always going to try and get ahead. But I hope that, you know, over the next 5 or 10 years, what we're teaching is going to make it look a little bit more ridiculous to make these wholesale changes and make it more interesting to make performance enhancements and, you know, more precise, or, you know, more customized. Like, you know, they go for custom fitted clubs, but, you know, on a whim, they'll change their swing to look like someone else's. Like Dustin Johnson just won the Masters. So, you know, why don't we all go and bow our left wrist? You know, it obviously works because he's world number one and he's the current, the latest major champion, which actually happened a few years ago. Yeah. ton of bowed left wrists started to appear. And, you know, and I can think of one, you know, top 10 player that it really hurt, who I talked to a lot the other day. And that's, you know, it, so what I hope is that, you know, the book that we're going to come out with is going to give, you know, people an idea of their own personal blueprint, you know, exactly like your clubs. They're going to have a custom fitted swing where it'll be easy to track which pieces are in place, which pieces not in place. You know, once it's in place, what do? Well, we practice better. You know, we get stronger, we get faster, we rest better, we, you know, feel better about life. Whatever the performance enhancements could be, we eat better. We don't go out with David and Terry because then we'll probably have too many to drink and laugh too much. So I think, you know, what we're getting to now, and especially, you know, if you watch Mike and I teach, as you do, and you do, we get beyond technique actually really quickly and get out on the golf course and start changing. So the thing that surprises me at the highest level is, number one, is naturally, you know, how these players have matched up their own swings. Even, you know, Jim Furyk's and Dustin Johnson's, and, you know, even the more outlier swings, we, you know, as we say, there's no outliers. There's a reason for all of the things that are happening when it's working at that level. So that's about it.
Yeah. So explain what the ultimate golf lesson is.
So, you know, Mike and I have teamed up, and Mike's had the tests out there for a long time, but, you know, he and I talk almost daily about how we can, it's almost like the skeleton was there, and we've had, you know, 10 years of technology and experience of understanding, you know, my backgrounds. I probably, you know, have a pretty good understanding of, you know, the anatomy and motion capture. Mike is definitely the world's leading expert on how to teach using force plates. You know, the research I did on the grip lined up very well with the way that Mike tested it. And so what happened is we got all this, you know, added kind of collaborated information to fill out this skeleton and made it into a, you know, a functional human being. So basically what it is it gives you the tests that we do. It's almost like a choose your own adventure book. So you do the test, and then the tests take you to your personal chapter, and you read how to grip the club and the effect it has on your, you know, your backswing style, downswing style, ball flight, you know, launch monitor numbers, ground reaction forces. So everything's basically customized. It's like a custom way of doing it. And so you can either read just your kind of chapters, or you can go through and read the whole thing. The first book we're going to have is, you know, very much consumer based. And then we're going to have, you know, a more elaborate kind of teacher's copy coming out for those who want to learn how to get a little bit more in depth down the road. But it will give everybody, it's like their own personal lesson. The way the book is structured, it's like having a lesson with Mike Ray.
And you guys have collaborated with the top biomechanists and minds out there of, you know, kinesiology and biomechanics to vet, and, you know, basically know that you guys are working in the right direction, and that what you're doing is sound, and it's not, you know, this is not a weird you know, method that, you know, pops up every once in a while. There's no, this is a method, but there's no method to it in the sense of what we've previously known. It really just, it's a categorization of scenarios that everybody has, and it basically puts Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think it gives, you know, if you have a method that doesn't include Jim Furyk or Matt Kuchar or, you know, Lee Trevino or Dustin Johnson, then your method is not very good, because those guys are really good.
Yeah.
And so what we've, you know, worked towards is to have no outliers. So, yeah, so it would be more of a system than a method, because we basically teach every method.
Right.
And, you know, we can take pieces from, you know, different methods and you know, put them together and have somebody very quickly feel very natural, because we're encouraging to move them to move their way.
Yep.
I mean, you know yourself, and when we give lessons, it's usually not very long before we get the usual statement. Oh, I used to do that when I was playing really well. Or,
yeah.
Oh man, that feels so much better. Can't believe I've been learning something else for all these years. You know, at least it's just so regular that we hear that it makes sense. So yes, we've been working with science. What is science? Science is just measuring things. So can science prove? No. So we're not proving anything. Can science disprove? Yes. So Gregory Bateson was a great thinker in the 70s and 80s. He said, science cannot prove, it can only disprove. So we're basically making the target smaller. We haven't eliminated, you know, a little bit of room for maneuver still, but we definitely have worked with a lot of people who we have learned a lot from, and I'd like to say they learned a lot from us too, which is the best relationships that you can have. And we've gone through, you know, ground reaction force with multiple scientists, and we've gone through the grip with multiple guys and all of the, you know, outcomes. And, you know, honestly, we've taught it to thousands of teachers too, who, you know, are having similar experiences, which is really satisfying, because, you know, we'll be getting, I mean, I have probably nowhere near the number of calls and texts of Mike, but you know, we have teachers telling us how they're getting similar results to what they saw us getting after learning how to do the system, which is actually pretty simple if you just do it. So
that's what's amazing about Terry and Mike is they're not just teachers, they're teachers of teachers. And, you know, I like to, you know, follow suit with, you know, I believe that's what I do, is try to teach people what I do so that they can go do it. And, you know, I think there are very few people out there that do what you guys do, which is, one, what you've created as a platform, but you've also, you're transmitting this information to teachers so that they can go do a great job and help people play better, which is, you know, commendable. And it takes a certain type of mindset. You're like, I've never been afraid to get my knowledge out, because I'm, no matter where they're at, I'm going to be hopefully farther ahead than they are, right? Because I'm always going to be pushing my limits, as well as you guys are too. So that's what makes what you and Mike do so amazing, is that you disseminate that information to people out there. And, you know, down the road, it'll become common knowledge, and it'll become, you know, it'll be, you know, at a certain point in time, what you guys have done will have changed the landscape of instruction around the world. And, you know, it's going to be because of you guys, what you guys are accomplishing. What I've learned from Mike, and, you know, obviously my connection to the Golfing Machine and Ben Doyle, and seeing things as, you know, parts and pieces, I've always looked at it that way. And, you know, it's helped me as a club maker and a fitter, and to create fitting and fitting, you know, processes and modalities so that the consumer can get what's essential to their needs. And if you're not taking into account, you know, the differences in us, that you're not making a person, you know, like back in the old days, everybody had to conform to the golf club that was in front of them. And now we have the ability to conform the golf club to match what people need. And, you know, we can harmonize teaching and fitting together, because they're both critically essential in the process. What are your takes on fitting?
As in, like, butch harmonize? Well, fitting, so let's say you take the tree and say, well, ideally someone moves their natural way, and then, you know, our job is to match up their swing fundamentals, you know, their grip, their aim, and things like that, in order that they can swing to the best of their ability. Now, you know, our friend Billy came up with the term offense or defense. So if you're mismatch. So let's say you grip too strong for your style and you have to fight that hook, you know, so you have to kind of put the brakes on and hold the face open and stuff like that. Then that's that defense is costing you consistency and power, right? So offense, and you know, from a swing standpoint, would be obviously match up your pieces so that you can then go after it really hard, knowing that you're going to not be that far offline.
Yep.
And you know, club fitting comes into that, obviously. So when you have the wrong loft, or you know, the wrong lie angle, or the wrong weight, or you know, just so many pieces that you know of, those would add to the offense in a good way, or add to the defense in a bad way, right? So now you're accommodating it during the swing, and you have to, you know, take a detour, and you're not able to fully, you know, express yourself in your golf swing because of the equipment. So, and you've done a great job. And as far as I know, you're, you know, by far the best fitter using these systems that we have, you know. So that, I definitely had a lot of interesting pieces come out of some of the studies, and, you know, how the club is delivered depending on the grip is just even just huge. But then, you know, taking into consideration all the other pieces that you do in terms of, you know, putting and fitting clubs, it's, again, it helps a person to swing their swing to the best of their ability. Mm-hmm. So it's a big piece. It's, you know, it's all part of the pit crew that helps the golfer get better.
So as we wind this down, where do you see people going wrong? If you could say there's one hinge pin for the whole falling apart of a golf swing, where do you think that blame resides in their technique?
Well, I think average is actually the enemy. You know, I mean, if you have Matt Kuchar, who's a very flat swing, and, you know, Jim Furyk, Dustin Johnson's, who have more upright swing, then you could say if they swung in the middle, then they'd both be, you know, they'd all be terrible, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure you're expecting me to say that average on TrackMan would be the enemy, average on a motion capture system would be the enemy, average on a force plate would be the enemy, average clubs would be the enemy, average golf lesson would be the enemy. Everyone has to swing this way. You know, otherwise you're an outlier. The only way that you play well because you're, you know, athletically talented and all that sort of thing. So I think, you know, the nature of the world now in every aspect is more and more and more data. You know, you've got your Facebooks and things like this who are accumulating data and specifically targeting you with ads. You know, you're fitting clubs specifically based on many years and of experience and data. You know, we're fitting the golf swing precisely to the way that that person's predisposed to move, again, which enables them to be offensive. So I would say trends, fashions, averages, you know, really just any kind of outcome which is not really thought through. It's just kind of a lazy, you know, I don't know, accumulated average knowledge. So averageness is the enemy.
What would be the thing about their golf swing that where they could really, understanding this one aspect,
I know where you're going as well. Well, I know you're after the grip.
Right, exactly.
Hand grip would be the one thing. But yeah, know, it's but see, that if you go up to the higher level of that, what is it? It's a technical thing. What's the problem with technique? Average. So not everyone has the same grip. So, you know, but there's also lots of other pieces. But the most influential aspect of the golf swing is the way that the trail arm works and its influence on
exactly,
you know, the lead arm, the pivot, the club delivery, you know, shot shape, everything. So that would be the most influential piece. Lower body action, ground reaction forces would be the second.
Right. So changing your grip or having your grip match what you actually need to be doing is probably the beginning of a transformation in a golf game. I don't care if it's with a putter or with your full swing. Understanding where your grip should be will totally help that whole process fall into place. But, you know, there's a lot of factors that revolve around that, as you just said. So it's finding the right, you know, instructor that will understand that, because there's not just one grip. You know, they were always, you know, taught in the golf lessons, you know, have the V's point to your right shoulder. Well, that's not going to work for me. You know, it may work for an under golfer, but it won't work for me, you know. Well, Terry, anything you would like to add? You know, where can we find you?
Well, I have a webpage, terryrolls.com. I think we're populating the ultimategolflesson.com as our book is supposed to be coming out sooner rather than later. You know, teachers, we're going to be doing some teaching education. But Twitter, I think I'm at golf performance. Instagram is my name. So some of those places.
Great. Yeah, I would. The more you learn about this guy, the more you're going to want to dive into what he's talking about, because he's spot on, as is Mike Adams. It's been a truly great friendship having you in my life, and grateful. And I look forward to many years of bouncing ideas and laughing and having fun together. Terry, you're truly, truly a great golf instructor. I'm so happy to be your friend. And that's all I got to say.
Thanks, buddy. Well, if laughter is the best medicine, then we're both highly medicated for the time that we spent together. So that's a good thing.
All right. Well, thank you for your time and insight. Down the road, I'd like to call upon you again, and we'll sit down and break things down a little bit more. This was kind of just an overview of Terry for our listeners getting to know who Terry Rawls is. And then down the road, we can dive into some deeper singular concepts that maybe down the road help put together in a nice little format. Thank you, Terry, for your time, as usual, and we'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Adele Golf Podcast. Make sure you stay tuned for more podcasts coming your way on a regular basis. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're interested in going through a fitting process and finding the best putter for you, head over to AdeleGolf.com. Go to the Find a Fitter tab, scroll down, and find a fitter in your state nearby. Find a putter that you know is custom fit for your best performance. That's it for today. We'll see you next time